is a word, a shortened word for sanctified. All right? So if you've been sanctified by the blood, to be sanctified means you have been set apart, you have been washed clean by the blood of Jesus. Sino rito nahugasan na ng dugo ni Jesus? So you have been sanctified. That means you're a saint. Santo. Ako, I'm Saint Hiram in Tagalog, it's Santo Hiram. Santo Wilfredo. Bagay. Di ba? We're all saints. But after we get to recognize, alright, so I am a saint, I am a saint. Do we just walk around this, I am a saint, I am a saint, I am a saint? No, no, no. The call for each saint is that we become revivalists who will actually call this world to come back to God. So that His kingdom will come. His will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Tell the person next to you, you're a revivalist. Now, we'll look at Ezekiel and his role here in raising up the vast army from bones. These are dead people. Bones. In the same way that we look at the world, it's dead. Every person who lives his or her life apart from God is dead. That's what the Bible says. The wages of sin is death. So every person who lives in sin is dead. This world is dead. They need the Lord. And our call is to be like Ezekiel, get all of these dry bones to come together so that there can be revival. Amen? Tingnan natin yung anong ginawa ni Ezekiel dito in being a revivalist to see revival break out in his surroundings. What did he do? Alright, let's start. So the hand of the Lord was upon me, he says. He brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord, set me in the middle of a valley. It was full of bones. Now he led me back and forth among them, and I saw a great many bones on the floor of the valley, bones that were very dry. Tingnan niyo to ha, hindi lang siya basta bone, bones that are very dry, dead. And God is telling us that we live in a world that is just full of deadness. Full of deadness around us. It saddens me that the way that the world is moving, even the culture, in the places that we went to, yung trend ba na tinatawag natin, the trend is going towards more sinfulness. What they are talking about now in Canada, you'll be surprised. I mean, you'll be shocked. What they're talking about now, because now gender is relative. It's how you feel about yourself. It's not about your biological makeup. It's about how you feel. Okay? And the moment we allow that to happen, like, we're talking about seven sexes now. It's not male-female only. There's male-female, lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, queer. Alright? Now, this is what they're talking about now. It's how they feel. What if I feel like I should be having a relationship with my relative? So now it's incestuous. Ang lalaki po pwede sa anak niyang babae, ang nanay po pwede sa anak niyang lalaki. It's incestuous. Now, it also leads to this. What if I feel like having a relationship with a little child? Pedophilia. Because it's how I feel. Are you getting this? Ito pa. They're talking about legalizing the relationship of a human being with an animal. Bestiality. Because it's how I feel. And it's all demonic. You talk about the valley full of dry bones. That is as dry as you can get. It's dead. And that's the trend of the world. Which is why there is a call for every believer to rise up and become a revivalist. The root word of the word revive is to live, to make alive again. Revive, vivo. There's life. We carry life. Tell the person next to you, you carry life. But see, unless we release this life to the world won't even know that we carry life. Unless Ezekiel would obey God and would release that life, it will remain as a valley full of dry bones. But we carry something, people. We carry something. That's basically what Ate Lolet was saying. We carry something. We don't just do talk. We don't just do preaching. We release the life of God. And there has got to be a demonstration of the power of God, because this world, the way it thinks, is that to see is to believe. I mean, we have done all of the talking necessary. I told Canada, I told Texas, and I've told this church, I've told so many other cities and provinces. What did I tell them? Ding 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 ding. It's 11:40 p.m. I told them something. Full revive. Some are there. Some are there. Revive. Yeah. I was making a point. Andun na ako eh. Andun na ako eh. Oh. We carry something. Okay. We carry something. Ezekiel carried something. And this world will not know that we carry something unless we release it. That's what I'm trying to say. We have to release it. I get it now. Okay. The Philippines is not under-evangelized. Canada is not under-evangelized. The United States is not under-evangelized. The people of this world, except for the nations like Islamic countries or communist countries, but the people of this world, they are not under-evangelized. We have heard the gospel time and time again. That goes for all Filipinos as well. You talk to any person. Sila ba nagbukas na ng TV at nakapanood ng Christian TV? Yes. Sila ba nakapagbukas na ng radyo at nakarinig ng gospel program? Yes. Sila ba naglakbay na at may nadaanan na church somewhere? Yes. I mean, there are even buildings in Metro Manila. You enter those buildings and there are 5 churches inside. You enter a mall. I know of a mall somewhere in Fairview. You enter that mall, there are like 5 churches inside. And damn, these are big churches. You talk about the Philippines being under-evangelized. It's not under-evangelized. They have been hearing, we have been hearing the gospel, left and right. It's all over us. But why is it that there are still so many people who have yet to come to a saving knowledge of Jesus? It's because the philosophy of the world is to see, is to believe. Which is why the Apostle Paul said that my message was not with wise and persuasive words, but with a demonstration of the power of God. Tell the person next to you, demonstration. That is what God is, that is what this world is looking for. It's looking for a demonstration of the power of God. Now, let's see what happened here. Okay. What did Ezekiel do? By the way, the title of the message is The Basic Necessities for a Revivalist. Okay? Basic necessities for a revivalist. Everybody say, I am a revivalist. Yung convincing naman, ulitin natin, I am a revivalist. I am a revivalist. Para kasama ka na sa dry bones. I am a revivalist. So what are the basic necessities of a revivalist? Number one is this. Verse 4. It says here, then he said to me, this is God speaking to Ezekiel. Then he said to me, prophesy to these bones and say to them, dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. This is what the sovereign Lord says to these bones. I will make breath enter you and you will come to life. Verse 7. So I prophesied as I was commanded. Number one necessity, if you are to be a revivalist, there is a need for believing obedience. We need to be an obedient people. If God says, hey, this is what you do it. So, understand this, sometimes the commands of God do not make sense. But we still need to obey, which is why I had to describe that obedience. It has to be believing obedience. Because sometimes we may attempt to obey, but not really believe what we're doing. There is a need for believing obedience. Let me cite you some examples in the Bible that these commands from God, they just sound crazy. They sound crazy. Example, sabi ni God, Moses, strike that rock, it will spill out water. What if God tells you, you see that rock, strike it. Maglabas siya ng tubig. Sino sa inyo maniwala? Crazy. Crazy. But did Moses obey? He did. It's just like this. When God told Pastor Roel, I want you to kiss that boy with galis sa ulo. You know, there was this boy who approached Pastor Roel. Alam niyo yung sobrang dumi ng ulo, yung parang nakapumada na sa dumi. Tama ba yan, nakapumada? Basta, matted, alright? Tapos may sugat-sugat na. Tapos, of course, you know, if it's just us thinking about it, diyan ka lang, okay? In Jesus' name, Lord, touch that boy. Be healed. Check it out. Alam mo yan? But the command of the Lord was, no. The way I want you to do it is I want you to kiss that young boy's head. Lord, kikiss pa talaga? I mean, hindi ba pwedeng command na lang in Jesus' name? No, the Lord said, no, I want you to kiss that young boy's head. Okay, Lord. Alam mo yan? God said, no. Kiss him the way your grandmother kisses you. Sino rito nahalikan na ng lola? Alam niyo yung halik ng lola na parang sinisinghot lahat ng kabanguhan mo? You still remember those days? I remember my lola. Yung lalagyan muna ng pulbos. Ang bango-bango naman ng apo ko. Alam mo yun? Parang tinatangay ka sa hinihigop ka. And God told Pastor Roel, no, I want you to kiss him the way your grandma kisses you. Lord, alam mo yun, Lord, sige ha, sabi mo yan. Alam mo siya, ang bango. But the story goes that immediately after he kissed that young boy's head, lahat ng sugat doon sa ulo was instantly healed. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Why? Because there was believing obedience. There are some crazy commands of God. Like, here's another one. God says, hey, Moses, you stretch out your hand over the sea so that will divide the water. Wow! Sino rito nakakita na ng stick? At ginan niya yung stick, humati talaga yung dagat? I mean, these are commands, but did Moses obey? He did. And it did happen that the Red Sea was divided into two. And God is telling you now, there are some commands that He's telling you to do. It may sound crazy, but you just have to do it. Dito po papasok yung sinasabi ko eh. I was struggling with this because I told you earlier, I counted the cost. So Canada was telling me on our way out, we were going home, Pastor Hiram, we would love to have you back. Please, come again. Equip us. Teach us about these things. And sabi ko, that would be great. Sure. Is there anything that you want us to know before we make any plans? Oh yeah, definitely. Please try to do it not during peak season. Because it was peak season. I mean, if you would just move it 2 weeks, 2 weeks after, 2 weeks back, or two weeks later. If you just move it 2 weeks later, the $1,600 that I was telling you about, it will drop down to $700. And sometimes we talk in this practical sense. Hindi ba practical kung ganito? Hindi ba practical kung ganyan? But sometimes the commands of God are not practical. God was telling Mel Tari, "Hey Mel, I want you to cross the river now." Mel says, "Lord, tomorrow when there are boats available." God says, "No, do it now. Cross the river now. Go to the next island." "God, tomorrow I'll do it when there are boats available." God says, "No, not tomorrow, now." And sometimes we argue with God. Like God would tell us, "Hey, I want you to give all of your money now to God's work." Yun, medyo pahirapan doon. God, this is crazy. I rebuke you, Satan, in Jesus' name. Because it does not make sense. You remember when Jesus gave the command to those who were serving in the wedding at Cana. Jesus tells them, "I want you to fill up all those 6 stone water jars." Now, the stone water jars, I want you to understand this. The stone water jars, they're not like our 5-gallon containers, alright? Just the 5-gallon containers, they're heavy enough. Mabigat yun, ha? Yung mga blue natin. But these stone water jars, people, they're not like jars. They're jars. Huge. Sana meron ako, huge. Google it. Mamaya, pagkatapos nito. They're huge. Bigger than me. About this big. Huge. And the way they fill it up, it's not like they get a hose. Sige, naka-hose na. It's not like that. You need to go to a nearby well. You have your leather bag. You fill up that leather bag with water. And then you keep on pouring water from that well to fill up those big stone water jars. And the Bible says that each water jar contains 20 to 30 gallons of water. 20 to 30 gallons of water. Imagine that. And here's this total stranger, the name is Jesus, who's telling them to do it. Go fill them up. 6 stone water jars. You just do the math. If these are 6 stone water jars, and if each jar contains 20 to 30 gallons, it 20 na lang natin. 6 times 20. Diba? That's 120 gallons. And it does not make sense. What are we doing? Because those stone water jars are not even for drinking purposes. They're for cleaning up purposes. What are we doing? Sometimes the commands of God do not make sense. But they obeyed anyway. And in the process of obeying, what happens next? The master of the wedding said, "Aren't you supposed to bring out the poor quality wine last? Because by that time, the guests would have been drunk." Hindi na nila malalasahan yan. Parang yung nabasa ko, na balita, may mga nagiinuman daw na ubusan ng pulutan, ang ginawa kumuha ng chinelas, pinaghihiwa, ginawang adobo. Kainan naman yung mga lasing. The master of the reception said, "You're supposed to bring out the poor quality, but you have brought out the best for last." What happened? They obeyed. Tell the person next to you, obedience brings blessings. Amen? Amen? And God may be telling you to do something, and He's waiting for your obedience. One lady was listening to, she attended one of the conferences where I got to speak at. And she heard that one of the commands of Jesus is to heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons. And she prayed a prayer to the Lord, of course, within herself. I mean, she just prayed, Lord, I want to do that. Lord, I want to heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons. She was actually more intent on the raising the dead part. Lord, I want to be able to heal the sick and raise the dead. Lord, give me the opportunity. And the day came, her mom was complaining of some pain in her body. So she had to bring her mom to East Avenue Medical Center because of that pain. Upon arriving in the emergency room of East Avenue Medical Center, the mom said, pain is gone. We can go home now. Sabi nung anak, sige po, uwi na tayo. But on their way out of the emergency room, here was an ambulance brought out somebody who was DOA, dead on arrival. And God whispers to her, that's why you're here. You're asking me to give you the opportunity to raise the dead. That's your dead. So she tells her mom, Mom, I think we need to go back because I want to raise the dead. Her mom says, I don't like the sight of dead people. You do it alone. I'll be out. Umalis yung nanay, pasok siya, God, if this is really you, give me access to that dead person. If it's really you, give me access to that dead person. Now, she entered the emergency room, saw the dead person, nandun lang, nakahiga. No doctor, no nurse, no one. And she approaches the dead person. See, believing obedience. Tell the person next to you, believing obedience. She approaches the dead person. She says, in Jesus' name, come back to life. When she said that, the person rose back to life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Immediately after the dead person comes back to life, the doctor comes back. Kasi he was going to make the report, yung death certificate. The person died this time. Pag ganyan niya, huh? But buhay to, dapat patay to ah. I mean, that was the statement. But buhay ito? Dapat patay ito ah. Sabi, di, nataranta silang lahat. And then, she just moved out. She just moved out. Sabi, wow, Lord, that was it. That was it. She raised back the dead to life. Why? Believing obedience. Amen? Hallelujah? Who wants to see miracles like that? Honestly, believing obedience. I love testimonies coming from people who just take God at His word. Like somebody needs money. I love how some people, they heard that there was this invitation to go to Canada. And there are some people who approached me and told me, Pastor, we want to contribute to that invitation. I said, no, I'm not going. I'm not going. Tapos, nagpupumilit. I said, I'm not going. And nagpumilit pa rin. I said, you know what? Big chance I won't be using this. Pastor, it's still yours. Now, what they did not know was that actually planted a seed. Well, they may have known. Right, but that planted a seed that actually put some faith in me to believe that yes, God must have a purpose for this. And because of that, so many other people from other nations saw what God is doing in my life and in this church, and now they want the same revival. Believing obedience. Hallelujah. Palakpakan natin si Lord. Thank you, God. Hallelujah. Let's move on. So, the Lord tells Ezekiel, hey Ezekiel, this is what you do. Prophesy to these bones. Ezekiel did not argue, Lord, I'm not going to talk to dead bones. Because it sounds crazy. Who has seen bones? Siya rito nakakita na ng bones. Okay. Who has talked to bones? You don't do that. If you're sane, you don't do that. I know of some people who eat bones. Kung nandito si Machi at si... I saw Leia, Taglukop. Talagang binuo yung pangalan. I mean, these people, dogs hate them. Because they eat chicken as if the bone part is part of the edible parts. I mean, but they eat bones. They don't talk to bones. Oh, I love you. You don't do that. But here's a command from God. Hey, prophesy to these bones. And then he says, so, verse 7, I prophesied as I was commanded. It's as simple as that. Nag-utos si Lord, gagawin ko. Everybody say, nag-utos si Lord, gagawin ko. Amen. That's your prayer. Second thing. In becoming a revivalist, there is also the need for us to be a people who speak life. We need to speak life. Everybody say life. Oh my goodness. This is where we need to truly control our tongues. God told Ezekiel, hey Ezekiel, prophesy to these bones. Say to them, dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. I will make breath enter you. You will come to life. I will attach tendons to you, make flesh come upon you, cover you with skin. I will put breath in you. You will come to life. Then you will know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I was prophesying, there was a noise, a rattling sound, and the bones came together, bone to bone. I looked, and tendons and flesh appeared on them, and skin covered them, but there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, verse 8, prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man. Everybody say, prophesy. Prophesy, son of man. Prophesy, prophesy, prophesy. What does it mean to prophesy? For many Christians, this sounds like a heavy word. Nakakatakot. I mean, that's only for a prophet like Ezekiel. But did you know that every time you speak something, be it positive or negative, you're prophesying? Ang bobo mo naman. You just prophesied. But you prophesied a curse. Ang pangit naman ng Pilipinas. You just prophesied a curse. I'll tell you something. Sometimes we make a joke out of it. When we see something bad that's going on in the Philippines, we say this, only in the Philippines. Huh? We always say that. We actually meant it as a joke. Like you see halimbawa, you see a snatcher snatching something and then running off. Wow, only in the Philippines. But have you ever thought about this? That when you said that, you're actually cursing the Philippines. You're actually saying that the Philippines is unique for snatchers. Or that the Philippines is unique for some crazy drivers only in the Philippines. We say that. So here, what is important, if you are to be a revivalist, who's a revivalist in the house? Alright? It's necessary for us to speak life. Speak life. You see a bone, hey bone, you will live again. But there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, say to it, this is what the sovereign Lord says, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe into these slain, that they may live. So what does he do? So I prophesied, as he commanded me, because God commands us to speak life. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath entered them. They came to life. Why? Because somebody spoke life. Here we need to re-educate our tongues. Kasama na po ako ron. I'm not going to exclude myself. This is for all of us. How often have we spoken something negative about someone? How often have we spoken against the government? But in the process of the... Pastor, hindi nyo ba nakikita ang nagbubulag-bulagan ka? No, I want to see revival. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 3. This is what it says. Alright? It says this. Everyone who prophesies speaks to men for their strengthening, encouragement, and comfort. When you say, wala ka ng pag-asa. Wow, strengthening. Nakaka-encourage. I mean, we need to weigh our words. And this is the barometer. Does it strengthen? Does it strengthen the church? For example, the body of Christ. So much wounding has happened to the body of Christ only because some people have some negative things to say. Ah, yung church na yan? Yung pastor na yon? Si bishop na yan? Si archbishop? Apostle. Si apostle? I mean, whoever. We have to look for the gold in that person. We need to start looking for something that will strengthen, encourage, and comfort someone. Find something good. Amen. May tinuro yung nanay ko sa aming lahat nung bata pa kami. Kung wala kang magandang sasabihin, huwag kang magsalita. Which is true. Proverbs chapter 18, verse 21. The tongue has the power of life and death. Those who love it will eat its fruit. So it depends on what comes out of your mouth. What comes out of your mouth. Be cautious of being in the company who speak negatives. Nakakatakot. Nakakatuyo. Have you ever been in the company of somebody who just says everything negative? Gustong-gusto ko silang kasama. Kasi ito, you're with them, ganyan kayo, gusto na! Well, it drains you up. Drains you up. And that's not a revivalist. A revivalist is someone who sees the dry bones, full of dry bones. But God tells the revivalist, speak life. Hey, bones, you will speak life. Speak life. You will come alive. You will come alive. You will come to life. You will come to life. You will come to life. And guess what? It will happen. Because God will anoint our words. And they will come to life. Sino rito may naiisip ng mga tao na pa, eh, wala nang pag-asa yun. Come to life. Come to life. Come to life. Come to life. Who would have thought that a crazy church persecuting guy like Saul would actually turn into the great apostle Paul? Who would have thought? That guy, by today's standard, he would be rendered as a terrorist. Because he was terrorizing the church. I mean, he had a legal paper to arrest all believers, men and women, children even, drag them on the ground, I mean, drag them, put them to prison, and even stone them to death. But I believe that somebody must have been speaking life. Saul will be converted. Saul will come to Jesus. Saul will repent, and he will become a believer. And God, He is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ever ask for or imagine. The one who said that he will be a believer did not even realize he will not just become a believer. He will be the greatest apostle who ever lived, and he will get to write half of the New Testament. Goodness. Sabi mo yung katabi mo, pwede yun? Wow, the need to speak life. The need to speak life. I'm reminded of the story of that particular Lola that I got to meet in the office. One afternoon, I think it was a Saturday afternoon, pagpasok ko sa office, there was a Lola. This Lola, alam niyo yung mabibo na madaldal. So she was there, and I did not know who she was. She was not supposed to be in the office, but for some reason, she was in the office. So I motioned to someone in the office. Ewan ko kung LT, andun ka, o Machi, or someone. Sino yan? Sino yan? Ay, Pastor, dinala po niya yung apo niya for prayer, for deliverance. Ah, sa kabilang kwarto. Hinihintay lang po yung Lola. Ah, okay. And then Lola starts telling me her story. Pastor, po, alam niyo ba, dapat wala ako rito? Isip-isip ko. Dapat nga, wala siya sa office. Pero iba ibig niya sabihin. Alam niyo ba, dapat wala ako rito? Talaga po, sabi ko, bakit po? Kasi sinabihan na ako ng doktor that 5 years ago, sabi niya, dapat namatay na ako sa breast cancer ko. Nasa PGH ako eh, sabi niya. I was in PGH, I was in Philippine General Hospital, and the doctor, they treated me because of my breast cancer, and after going through the whole process of chemo, the doctor told me that nothing happened, cancer is still there, and the doctor actually told me that I have just a few weeks to live. So, he just sent me home. Pinauwi na lang niya ako. But I said, no, I don't believe that report. I don't believe that report. Alam niyo ginawa ko, Pastor? Hindi po. Kinausap ko, now, no malice here, alright? This is how she narrated the story. Kinausap ko yung suso ko. Alright? I told my breasts, in the name of Jesus, ganun siyang magkwento, okay? In the name of Jesus, cancer, I do not recognize you. I speak life to you. In the name of Jesus, I speak healing to you. You are healed. Habi ko, kumusta na po kayo? Ano nangyari? Pastor naman, 5 years ago yun. And then she says this, Pastor, alam niyo ba, matigas yan dati. Pero ngayon, malambot na. Ko, naniniwala po ako. But see, that's the power of prophesying over your situation. That's the power of declaring the word of God. Like what the psalmist said, I'm still confident of this. I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Keep on prophesying, keep on holding on to the word of God, because the word of God will always prove itself to be true. Which is why we need to immerse ourselves with the Word. The Word is powerful, people. The Word has a way of changing our outlook in life, removing the negatives, turning them into positives, removing the doubts, turning them into faith, removing the fear, giving us boldness. The Word is alive. And we need to be a people of the Word wherein we release the Word of God. We release life. We release life. We release life. We release life. We release conviction. One of the favorite stories that I heard from Chris Vallotton, I think Chris Vallotton. It's not Chris Aquino. It's Chris Vallotton. That part, I'm sure. Sabi ni Chris Barrett. There's this story of a Christian who kept on seeing a gay person. And every time the Christian will meet the gay guy. Tama ba yan? The gay guy. Hindi naman the guy gay. It's every time the Christian will meet the homosexual, he'll say, "You're a man." And the gay will hate him for saying that. Stop saying that. Stop saying that. In Canada, there is a law. It's a law that if you address them in the gender that they don't like, they can sue you. Like, for example, if I prefer that I'm a she and you say I'm a he, and if you say I'm a him instead of I'm a her, I can sue you. Because that's not my gender preference. All right? Pronoun preference. Nakakatawa yung mga nurses kung kausap. We were conversing with some nurses, Filipina nurses. Sabi, what happens to us? I mean, dati pa tayo mali. He, she, she, he. He, she, she, he. What happens? Eh, yung kwentuhan nila. Sometimes they get to talk to their patients and sometimes they get to talk with the doctors and the patient or the doctor would say, are we talking about the same person? Because he, she, she, he. He, she, she, he. Labo-labo sa pronoun eh. But going back to Chris Valentine, I mean, this Christian guy, he'll just say, you're a man, you're a man. Stop saying that, stop saying that. And then one morning, this gay guy, he wakes up and then he says, I'm a man. Yeah. Just like that, I'm a man.
Yeah. I'm a man.
What happened? The power of speaking life. The power of speaking the word of God. Tell the person next to you, you're blessed. You are favored. You're not cursed. You're healthy. You're strong. You're bright. In Jesus' name. Amen. Let's get rid of the negative talk. Let's get rid of the negative talk. We're all favored by God. He loves us. Oh, He loves us. Oh, how He loves us. Oh, He hates me. Oh, how He hates. Sometimes that's how we feel. Lord, but naman, lahat pinagpala mo ako, sinumpa mo. Hindi ka sinumpa. Mahal ka ni Lord. And we just need to start speaking blessings again. Speaking blessings. Ang gulo-gulo, ang gulo-gulo, ang gulo-gulo, gulo-gulo. We speak life. We speak order. We speak the plans and the purposes of God. Thirdly, let's move on. Who's learning something here? Basic necessities for a revivalist. What's number one? The need for believing obedience. If we are to be revivalists, we need to obey. We need to believe God and obey. What's number two? We need to speak life. Alright? Practice then. Speak life. Oh, speak life. Thirdly, so here goes. Sabi sa verse 8. I looked, and tendons and flesh appeared on them. See, we started here with bones. We started with very dry bones. I looked, and tendons and flesh appeared on them, and skin covered them. Woo, ganda na. Gumanda na. Umayos na. Woo, meron ng skin, meron ng muscles. But there was no breath in them. Still dead. Then he said to me, prophesy to the breath. Everybody say breath. Prophesy, son of man, say to it, this is what the servant Lord says, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe into these slain that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath entered them. See here, the third necessity is the need for the power of the Holy Spirit. Understand, we can actually speak life, we can actually speak positive things, we can speak positive about our personal, individual lives, about our families, about our community, about our nation, about the church, the body of Christ. We can speak life, but unless the Holy Spirit breathes life into what we're saying, it's still all humanistic. I mean, teachers can tell you good manners and right conduct. Oy, huwag ka magsasalita ng masama, magsalita ka ng mabuti. But what differentiates a revivalist is that we know that it's not by human might, it's not by human power, it's by the Spirit that there can be life. So when we speak life, what is crucial is you speak that word of life and you allow Holy Spirit to breathe life into that word, and then it comes to life. There is a need for the power of the Holy Spirit in everything we do. Even as we recognize, apart from Holy Spirit, we cannot produce anything. It's like this. Somebody's sick. We can actually lay hands on that person. But unless Holy Spirit comes upon that person will remain sick. Somebody's demonized. We can actually speak to the demon, stomp our feet, shout at the top of our voices, and nothing happens. Why? Because it's only Holy Spirit, who is the finger of God, who can drive out demons. So what we need to be praying for is, Holy Spirit, we need you. Come upon us so that everything that we do will be anointed by you. Did you know that one of the names of the Holy Spirit in the Bible, you'll be surprised with this. One of the names of the Holy Spirit in the Bible, I mean, we're used to Holy Spirit being the wind of God, right? He's the wind of God, He's the fire of God, He's the dove. But did you know that one of the symbols used for Holy Spirit in the Bible would be an oxen? Or an ox. Ano yung ox yung palakol? Hindi po, action. Pwede. O-X. Alright? O-X. It's Proverbs 14:4, please, let's show them. Proverbs 14:4, everybody read, go. For there are no oxen, the manger is empty. But from the strength of an ox comes an abundant harvest. The ox right there, if you're going to look at the work of God in the world, if you're going to look at the work of God inside the church, basically is what it's saying. You remove the oxen, nothing happens. You remove the oxen, the manger is empty, nothing. But with the strength of an ox comes an abundant harvest. Here is another version. Here's another version from NASB, N-A-S-B. Where no oxen are, the manger is clean. Where no oxen are, the manger is clean. Siyempre, wala yung oxen. So, the manger is clean. You know how sometimes in the church, many people, including me, I would say, we want order in the church. We want that everything will be in its proper place in the church. Like you enter most churches, everything is just right. I mean, everything is presented in such an orderly manner. But have you noticed this? That when revival comes and when Holy Spirit blows, things get messed up. Like Seth Fawcett comes and suddenly there are no chairs. And people, instead of standing up, they're right there on the floor. People are laughing. And some people find it, what's going on? Church ba yan? Gulo-gulo? But if the oxen, where there are no oxen, the manger is clean. Let me ask you this. You want a clean manger? Or you want that the ox of God will be here and doing things in our midst? It can be a bit messy, but you know there's life. Where Jesus went to, things got messy, people. Have you ever thought about that? I mean, the synagogues before Jesus came would have order. The synagogues before Jesus came would have scripture reading. The synagogues before Jesus came, everything just ran smoothly from the start. Yun lang ba sasabihin mo, Pastor? The start to the end. Seamless. Flawless. And then Jesus came. And He preached the word. And suddenly, one guy stands up. Ha! We know who you are, Jesus. You're the Son of the Most High God. A demonized man. And Jesus says, rebuking him sternly, that's what the Bible says, you shut up. Oh, pwede ba yun sa church? But that's how Jesus rebuked the demon. And then some occasions, like demons would come out with loud shrieks, ayoko sa ganung church. But those are demons coming out. Let me ask you this. You want a church wherein the manifestation of Holy Spirit like an oxen who may mess things up, but in the process cast demons out? Or you want everything with order, but the demons stay in? That's a powerless Christianity. Which is why we need revival. We invite the ox of God. We invite Holy Spirit. And we say, Holy Spirit, you want to mess things up? Mess things up. We just want revival in our midst. Amen. Hallelujah. And that's what we want, people. I mean, He can just come in anytime and it will be great. One other verse and then I'm done. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 18 to 21. Everybody say, I'm a revivalist. Who's a revivalist in the house? Who's a revivalist going outside of the house? Tayo pa rin yan. I mean, it's not just here. Here, it's practice. Alright? Here, it's practice. Out there, we advance the kingdom of God. Ephesians 1, verse 18. I pray, and this is my prayer for every one of us. I pray also that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which He has called you, the riches of His glorious inheritance in the saints. Tell the person next to you, you have glorious inheritance. I like that. I'm an heir. Or if you're Kapampangan, I'm an heir. His glorious inheritance in the saints and His incomparably great power for us who believe. Who? How incomparable is it? That power is like the working of His mighty strength which He exerted in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and seated Him at His right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, every title that can be given not only in the present age but also in the one to come. What God used in raising Jesus back to life. The power of the Holy Spirit. What God used, or who God used in raising Jesus back from the dead, raising him back to life, is the same power that he has now placed in us. Tell the person next to you, in you. Which is why we can look at the dead bones. Because that incomparably great power for us who believe is the same power that God used in raising Jesus from the dead now lives in us. And we look at the dead bones and we say, hey, you are coming back to life. Philippines, you are coming back to life. In Jesus' name. We speak to the impossible situations. We release the breath of God. We release Holy Spirit. And we know there will be revival, because that is our call. Amen? Who's happy to be a revivalist? So stop the negative talk. There will be national revival. And it's going to come from a people who believe. We are all Ezekiels in the house. We look at dead situations, but we see living bodies, because we carry the power of God with us. Amen?